Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold, presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one, of course, is the Chiefs getting set for the Texans tomorrow. Noon kickoff right here on 96.5. The Fan pregame coverage begins at 9 a.m. here on your home for the Chiefs. Story around this game all week was about the ankle. That's also what shifted the line around. So at one point, the Chiefs were 3.5-point underdogs. And then as the week went on, it continued to move and move and move. And that's all centered around the Mahomes injury. We all know he's going to play tomorrow. The Chiefs are up to 3.5-point favorites against Houston. The total for the game sitting at 41.5 over at FanDuel. We're going to talk more about this game in specifically the areas the Chiefs can attack here in about 5 minutes or so. But the Chiefs, one of four teams playing on a Saturday, and then, of course, the turnaround for Christmas. Pittsburgh will play Baltimore in the late game tomorrow afternoon. The Ravens, 6.5-point favorites. The Steelers could win the division with the victory, but they are almost touchdown underdogs heading into that game up in Baltimore. Next up on What's Trending, college football playoff begins tonight. We're going to talk more about this with Bink at 12:30 today, but you get the first one. First year of the expanded playoff field, first year of the on-campus playoff site. So tonight, 7 o'clock, Indiana taking on Notre Dame. The Hoosiers, 6.5-point underdogs in that one. Then tomorrow, we get three games. It is an unbelievable Saturday. We get SMU, Penn State at 11 a.m. The Chiefs are going to play, as we know, at noon. Then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's Clemson in Texas, that one in Austin. You have another NFL game going on. And then in the evening, we get the other college football playoff game. Tennessee, Ohio State, 7 p.m. from Columbus. It is a loaded weekend in college football.
You have any bets you're liking?
We'll talk about during the 1 o'clock hour.
Some interesting spreads.
Yeah, so I don't like Indiana now that it's down to 6.5. I think if you got them at 7 or 7.5, the Hoosiers to cover. Yeah, you're giving me that many points for Indiana. I don't know if they're going to win outright, but I would take it if you give me a touchdown or more, maybe by the half point. But it's now gone down to 6.5. A lot of people are betting the Hoosiers to cover, but Notre Dame to win. And I do actually feel like Clemson's going to cover the 12.5. And yep. Then I would love for Tennessee to upset Ohio State, but I don't know. I would love that. It would be so good.
I'm telling you, it might be an infestation in Columbus of Vols fans. That's the rumor going around.
I know it. There's no way there's going to be 40,000, though. I know you were talking about that. 40,000, man.
You're talking about taking over the stadium.
Taking over the stadium. It holds 100,000. You think there's going to be 40,000 at a home stadium site? It's not a neutral site.
From what's been reported, a lot of the resale stuff that people have been doing has been, Vols fans have been picking those tickets up left and right, man. I don't know if it'll be 40, but I'm going to be surprised if you see 25 or 30. Just based on what's being said.
We'll see.
I wonder.
That's embarrassing if that's the case. I was thinking there's going to be 15,000 Tennessee Volunteer fans. But
I wonder if they're actually going to sell out, too. I don't know if any venue, other than maybe the Notre Dame game, has been announced as a sellout, because Notre Dame's getting priced at still like $1,000.
This was the challenge of like how cool the campus sites are, but the students are home for the holidays.
Yeah, it sucks.
Students are home for the holidays. People are already traveling for the holidays, and it presents some challenges, perhaps. Yeah, that would be the only thing. Next on What's Trending, real quick, just local college basketball. Illinois, Missouri, it's a Sunday tip-off. Also, Kansas taking on Brown, as we get to that point in the basketball schedule where you kind of have the one game and then they have the break for the holidays. Finals are already, I guess, in the rearview mirror. Also, tomorrow, Kansas State playing against Wichita as the Kansas State Wildcats final non-con game.
They need to win something. They need to figure it out.
I mean, even if they beat Wichita State, they're going to have to win 10 games in Big 12 play probably to get in.
Man, that means Cody's going to have some trash talk on Monday potentially.
For what?
If UMKC beat Wichita State, but then the Shockers beat K-State, oh, man. You might not hear the end of it on Monday.
I think K-State's going to at least win that,
I think they should.
They are not. I mean, look, they obviously just lost to Drake, who's a really, really experienced team.
Drake will be really good in March.
And Drake's still undefeated. One of five, I think, undefeated teams remaining in Division I college basketball. Anyway, that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. As you can hear, it's just myself and Drew today. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon normally, but just Alex Gold, Drew Nixon today. Cody will be back on Monday. Drew and I out next week with the holidays, so the full show won't be back together again till the first of the year. I think the second, to be exact. So
yeah,
a lot's going to happen between them. That's what's kind of weird, man, with the way the Chiefs' schedule set. They're going to play Saturday against the Texans. They're going to play on Christmas against the Steelers. By the time we're back on the air, it'll be going on the Broncos game. Yeah, jeez. I mean, the Chiefs could have the number one seed locked up by then, or obviously we'd be talking about a must-win game against Denver. It just kind of depends how the next two go. Coming up in 20 minutes, Jay Binkley going to join us. We'll talk NFL and college football. Also, it's a Fan Club Friday. 1 o'clock hour, our good friend Kramer going to stop by. We'll open up a couple drinks, talk some sports and anything else. Who knows what's going to come up. We'll probably get back to the company holiday party stuff as well, as Kramer was there. There's also people in the building searching all over the place for the random hidden thing. Well, there's the elf is hidden today.
This is the final one, right?
Employee prize, final day. And I did a quick glance around the building for 2 minutes during the break.
Hang on a second. I guess I can't win because I've already won. But
you can.
Out of curiosity, what's the prize?
It just says a hiding place feels like home. I don't know. So I looked underneath some gingerbread houses, right?
One
like
last
a good
time
guess.
The elf is hiding. That's all it says.
It said something about home. So
got to be that.
I looked under the gingerbread houses. It wasn't there, man. So anyway. We'll talk to Kramer in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll also have our game predictions.
I hope you win in gold.
That's a good prize today, too, man. It's a pretty good.
That's what I was asking is what was the prize?
It's like a sign. It's older stuff. It's signed Tyrann Mathieu jersey and some other stuff.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, anyway, let's talk about the Chiefs here because I think the next two games can get some of you on board that are still on the fence. And just saying that out loud is a bit crazy. Because it's a 13-1 football team. But we've discussed it enough. I don't have to go over it all over again. We know the concerns. We know the flaws with this football team. But yet, they are 13-1. You have to admit, even if you're the most skeptical Chiefs fan, you can text in and tell me if you think this is the case. Maybe not. 913-586-7965. If they get to 15-1, which means they beat the Texans tomorrow, and then on a short week, and you know that ankle from Mahomes is not going to be feeling great on Sunday and Monday. And then they got to hop on a plane Tuesday and go take on the Steelers. If they get to 15-1, lock up the number one seed, win in that short period of time, given the O-line issues, given the fact that Mahomes is clearly not 100%, you have to admit, shouldn't that put to rest some of your concerns about the team? If they would beat a playoff divisional winner team in Houston tomorrow, and then go on the road to a Steelers team that could already have the division locked up by the time they play. Depends on if they beat the Ravens, and they're not on paper supposed to, right? They're the underdog to do that. If that happens, like, how can you say they can't win against, you know, playoff teams? These flaws are too great to do that. And I know we don't put the Texans and Steelers in the same category as Buffalo. I get it. But like, that to me, if they get to 15-1, how can you say that they can't win enough games in the playoffs, or that they're too flawed of a team? That scenario exactly happening. Maybe you think they're not going to do that. That's fine. That's a whole different conversation. But if they do that and they're 15-1 and win the next two, all the circumstances around it, how could you still be terribly concerned with this football team?
Well, especially when you look at the schedule and they'll have played, I know it was the first game of the year because everybody was like, oh, the Ravens aren't going to be the same team they are later. Neither are the Chiefs, in fairness. They'll have played the Ravens. They'll have played the Chargers. They'll have played the Niners if they can make it. They'll have played Tampa Bay. They'll have played Denver. They'll have played Buffalo. They'll have played Houston. And you know, they'll have gone through more of a gauntlet than, I mean, in fairness, the Buffalo Bills had, than most other teams have, really, because with the AFC North, you can kind of say, well, the Steelers and Ravens went through some tough competition too, but the Chiefs have been tested in every way, shape, and form, and if they go 15-1, I think you're right.
No, it's a big if. As someone says in the text, they say, that's a big if. Totally. This is the hypothetical.
You're right, though. I think there's
go 15-1, though. I don't know how you could still be like really questioning what the hell's going on.
And when we're talking about two really good defenses, too, because as great as Buffalo is defensively, they're not the same team. Like the Steelers, like we've said it before on the show, they're very identical in terms of what they are. They defensively, very sound, very elite, very good. Quarterback play at times has been a little bit iffy. The running back situation, Steelers run the ball maybe a little bit more, but effectiveness wise, the offenses find a way to sometimes get the job done. Offenses looked a little bit iffy at times, but they've looked good at times as well. They're very similar in how they play. if you can beat the Steelers, that's why I think the Steelers might be the more impressive win. If they can say they lose to Houston, but then they beat the Steelers, I feel the same way that you're talking, even if they did only win one of these two games that they have here over the next week, because they're playing what I think is a better team in the Steelers, where you're facing a more elite defense, which is who else has an elite defense that they'd face other than the Steelers? I mean, Denver, they've already gone through them twice. They've already shown that. I don't know if you can be concerned more about the Ravens than you would maybe the Steelers because of how good
the Ravens'
that defense is.
Not worried at all. Yeah, not worried about all about the Ravens. But again, the question I pose is involving 15-1. I mean, I think obviously the Steelers game is the tougher, but that's why I think tomorrow's the game you have to have. You have to have tomorrow's game because of the short turnaround. You have to give yourself the wiggle room with the final two. You have to put yourself in a position to where you win against the Texans, and then you just have to win one between the Steelers and between the Broncos. Excuse me. That's the position you have to put yourself in, because I've said this all week, guys. I'm somewhat terrified of post Texans game what Mahomes' ankle and mobility is on the road at Pittsburgh. I'm actually not terribly concerned about tomorrow. Really not. I think Mahomes all week, the treatment, he's been through this thing before. He was a full participant all week. I'm really not as concerned about that. My concern is the 2 days, 3 days after Saturday's game and not having a full week to get treatment, having to get on a plane, go play, and I haven't looked at the weather forecast. I'm not allowed to anymore after my whole Celsius confusion in Cleveland. They're going to play at Pittsburgh on a Wednesday. That's what's terrifying if they lose tomorrow. So I think you got to have this one. Got to have this one tomorrow against Houston.
It actually won't be too bad. It'll be like 40 degrees and cloudy. It's not terrible. It could be worse. It could be on Sunday in Pittsburgh. It's 26. It's 26 and sunny is the high. So the weather's going to be better than it is this weekend.
Okay.
As far as
the Texans directly, like how do the Chiefs win this game tomorrow? We just had a guest on from Houston, if you missed it, during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. The Chiefs' offensive line is their problem. The Texans' offensive line is their problem. The Texans' defense is on the verge of a franchise record in sacks. They're the second in the NFL with 45. That's the name of the game. On the flip side, C.J. Stroud last year was a top four quarterback against the blitz in a couple different metrics within DVOA. This year, he's 31st out of 32 qualified quarterbacks. And that's the name of the game. We always like, you simplify things, it's a battle of the trenches and all that. It truly is in this game tomorrow. Can the Chiefs do what every other team has done really this year? That is sack the quarterback. In this case, we're talking about C.J. Stroud. Can they do, everybody else has done it against the Texans. And look, everybody else has been able for the most part to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes. Now, last week they got pressure on Mahomes. They weren't sacking him left and right, but we know the ankle injury now this go around. Joe Tooney looks like he'll be the left tackle for Kansas City tomorrow in this game, with DJ Humphries not practicing all week, and there's a chance Humphries is available against the Steelers on Wednesday. But that's the name of the game here. The Chiefs are fifth in overall defense. They finally got some turnovers last week. Can they carry any of that over? The turnovers are still a big question mark for me. That was six takeaways after only having 10 all year. But the thing that has been trending in the right direction overall is just the defensive play, period, getting pressure on the quarterback. What they've done, going back to the Raiders game, Chargers game, and then last week against Cleveland. Step up in competition against Houston, sure, but C.J. Stroud is not the same quarterback this year as he was a year ago. He just hasn't been because of pressure. Sounds kind of familiar, right, when we talk about Patrick Mahomes. The difference is I know Mahomes on a third down is still capable of making the crunch time play with two minutes to go. C.J. Stroud hasn't done that much this year. As great as he was last year, he's been kind of average. I'm not saying his career he's going to now be an average quarterback, but he's been average this year. The Texans are kind of an average football team.
Do you think that Mahomes, obviously you would think he doesn't have the mobility.
We've seen this before, though. Do I think he can still have one run that moves the chains? Yeah, because we all saw the Super Bowl a couple years ago against the Eagles. He re-injured that ankle in the game.
The Bengals game.
And he still had that long run. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, I don't have the audio in front of me, but 2 weeks ago we played the audio where he talked about knowing when you got to have it versus when it's, you know, sliding down or protecting yourself. I think he's a smart enough football player to know in this game. Now, in the first quarter, is he going to push the mobility? Probably not. But if it's late in the game and it's third down and eight and there's room to run and he's got to have it. Do I think he can push it? Yeah, because he's done it before, even with the bad ankle. But do I think that otherwise he's going to try, you know, be able to take off and be as mobile? No, I think that'll be something to watch all game long. And this offensive line has to put together one of their best performances of the season, knowing that Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter have, what was the number I just mentioned? Was it 45 sacks or whatever that they've put out there? That's going to be the biggest test that they've had in a bit. Even more, I would argue, even more than Myles Garrett last week. Myles Garrett's a better football player than the two guys, but there was nobody else that you were worried about in addition to Myles Garrett. You have Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson this go around tomorrow afternoon at Arrowhead.
I can't remember if it was you or Cody who said this, but you and I both kind of piggybacked off of each other in terms of the picks of Pacheco's rushing attempts, Pacheco's rushing yards. His rushing yard total is 52.5. You would think that, I mean, I don't know if you can go on the alt line and just get free money, I guess.
You can. FanDuel now has this thing. You can do something called Your Way. There's like a scroll bar. And you can do whatever yardage total you want. You want to move it down to 34. You want to move it up to 79. Like, you can do whatever. And the odds, of course, will fluctuate. You can truly choose whatever yardage you want.
Because I think, in a way, we had discussed it earlier in the week. Is this what it's going to take? Was Mahomes' injury what it would take for Andy Reid to say, you know what, we're going to run the ball more consistently, more effectively, something that he's admitted to needing to do? I wonder if you're in a position where, say the Chiefs get up 10-0 or 10-3, are you just going to hammer the run on a regular basis
for one game maybe when that exact scenario was there for Andy in Cleveland, and we all know what happened. They were up more than just 10-3.
Yeah,
or 21-7 or 21-0 or whatever it was, and we know they did not do that.
I think him getting hurt is kind of what it would take for them maybe finally to do that.
For one game. I don't know if he's going to do
it. If they're ahead even.
For one game, maybe. I do think when your quarterback gets hurt, it causes you to step back for a second, even though this is something people have been suggesting for weeks, if not going back years in his career.
You've been pounding the
table. Run the freaking ball. Yes. Yeah, it's been. I mean, I'm not alone in that.
No.
Maybe the injury causes that to happen. I don't think that's, overall, he's not changing. It's a one-game thing. Maybe tomorrow. But it also requires them getting off to a good start.
Is there anything
defense
that scares you the most? Is it the offensive line in terms of
the Chiefs to struggle with?
The way that the Chiefs lose this game is pressure and they just can't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's that Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter are consistently winning their one-on-ones and Mahomes is running for his life and he gets his ankle rolled up on again and he's hobbled and all of a sudden the whole thing falls apart. Yeah, that's the night, that's the devastating scenario. Defensively, I actually feel pretty good about this defense heading in. We just mentioned there's an opportunity to get after CJ Stroud. The Chiefs, I really truly believe they've been playing a lot better. They are trending in the right direction defensively. So it's more about the offense for me in this game, not the defense. And that's why when we had our guest on from Houston, we were talking about this game kind of feels like it might be an under. What's the latest number? Was it 42 or 41.5 or something? I don't have it in front of me, but kind of has that vibe. We'll talk more about this with Jay Binkley in just a second. Jay Binkley is going to join us around 12:30 or so. Just a couple final thoughts though on last night with the Chargers and the Broncos game. I thought it was a really good Thursday night game. It also had the history of the drop kick, the free kick for the first time since the 70s, and that really swung the entire game. Right before half, the mistake by the Broncos gives the Chargers the opportunity for that field goal. They get the big 3 points, and then they just took over in the second half and they pull away and get the win. And now the Broncos and Chargers are both 9-6, but the Chargers have the higher percentage chance to make the playoffs over the Broncos, even though the Broncos still are in a pretty good spot to do so. I watch both those teams, and I don't think they're as dangerous as they were a couple weeks ago. I don't can they win on the road in the postseason? I'll tell you, whoever's the 7th seed, if it's the Broncos or Chargers, right now it's the Broncos. They are not going to Buffalo in the opening round of the playoffs and winning. They are not doing that. Not with a rookie quarterback. I looked this up last night. 11, I think it is now, 11 rookie quarterbacks have won their first playoff game ever. CJ Stroud last year was the 11th, I believe. History is very much against Bo Nix going on the road, and you're going to take on a Buffalo team that everybody tells me is the best team in football. I don't see it.
Yeah.
Then can the Chargers, as a 6th seed, go to Pittsburgh or go to Baltimore? They can be really competitive in that scenario. If you told me the Chargers had to go to Pittsburgh, I think it could be competitive. I wouldn't pick them to win that game. Going to Baltimore, I actually give them a better chance. We get the Harbaugh Bowl part two. That'd be fun, right? All right, sign me up for that. Ravens win the AFC North, and we get Ravens hosting the Chargers in wild card weekend. That'd be fun. Harbaugh in Baltimore with his brother.
What was the score of that game again? I don't have it.
Which
in front
one?
Of me.
Last night's? Or?
No, the one of the
Harbaugh Bowl?
Yeah, the Harbaugh Bowl. Because didn't the Ravens beat up on him pretty good? If I remember correctly.
It was in L.A. Week 12, what was the score? 30-23, Baltimore won.
Okay. I think that, because I think you're right. I think they would struggle maybe more against the Steelers just because the way that their defense has looked a little bit more iffy, where they know going in the Ravens offense is obviously going to be really good, but how many points? It almost depends on the defensive output. Like, if their defense is really good, then they know that they'll be able to hang in there. But if they have to go into a shootout because the defense can't stop anybody with Baltimore, is the Chargers offense? I know Herbert's probably capable, but is that offense just in general capable of going toe-to-toe?
I think they might be getting
with.
Is there a chance they get J.K. Dobbins back?
They mentioned it last night, I think, on the broadcast. He could be
that's
back in a couple weeks or next week, maybe.
That's a huge part, I think, of this for the Chargers offense. Let's see. Chargers running back on IR.
Because Gus Edwards was a little bit beaten up last night.
Yeah. He's on IR, but I don't know if there's a chance he's back for the playoffs or not.
They mentioned his name coming back for the playoffs or by the playoffs.
Sprained
last
MCL.
Night.
You would think he might be able to come back eventually. Expected to miss some time. It didn't say the whole year. So anyway, that could change the dynamic for the Chargers, perhaps. Up next, though, let's check in with Jay Binkley. Be great to talk to him about not only the Chiefs Texans, but you know he is fired up for tonight and tomorrow with some college football, playoff football overall, opening up the bracket tonight. We're gonna get to that next. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon.
Hopefully Bink likes Christmas music.
We're going to find out, aren't
so.
We? Hanging out here on a Red Friday in KC. We're about 25 minutes away from a fan club Friday. Kramer's going to join me in studio on the 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk some football. We'll talk whatever the heck else is on our mind as well. We'll have a couple drinks heading into the weekend, plus our game predictions. But it's been a bit since we had Jay Binkley on the show. We go out to the hotline. We welcome in our guy, Jay Binkley, who must be feeling amazing about some college football that gets going tonight. What's up, man?
You know what? Well, yeah, what's up? Hey, I'm glad Kramer's coming in during the fan club. I just got yesterday, I got one of those magnets. He sent a magnet that said, save the date. He's got a date planned up for his wedding, man.
Wow.
I was blown away. I was like, whoa.
All right, thank you for that. Now I can ask him about it. I did not know that. There you go. I know he's been engaged mm-hmm. for a bit, but that's exciting news. So we'll definitely discuss that with Kramer. But everybody wanted this college football playoff expanded, yeah. Bank, and everybody was excited about these campus sites.
It's ridiculous.
We get it tonight, and then we get three games tomorrow. Overall, though, do you like how it's shaping up? I guess I'll ask you, because we're seeing reports that ticket sales and attendance might not be what people thought it's going to be. What do you make of how this is all going to play out this weekend?
Well, there's a few reasons for that. Obviously, people can't go to every single week. Like, if your team's good, and you know a lot of people are holding out, you know, for the quarterfinals, and we'll see what the bowl game situation is the next round. A lot of people are home for the holidays. They're not staying around there. I am disappointed. I figured that the ticket prices would be a lot higher at these games. But when you have a bunch of people trying to budget themselves, I mean, we know how, you know, tight things can get. You got this game, then you got the next game where you got to fly and go to the Sugar Bowl and then have the championship game. You got to be traveling a lot. So there's a lot to put into it. But when you see these matchups, like, I'm fired up for Notre Dame and Indiana. I mean, I am like through the roof. I mean, they're playing in the college football in the north. It never, you know, snows usually during college football season, a little bit, but you got snow on the ground in South Bend tonight. But you look at these matchups, you're saying, man, they could have been doing this for years, and they should have been doing this for years. This is going to be an absolutely gold mine as far as ratings are concerned.
Is this the game, though, you said that is it because of the first one you're most excited for, or is it that Ohio State-Tennessee one tomorrow night? Because that's the game that I think everybody is actually most intrigued by. Tonight's fun because it's the first one, and maybe Indiana covers and keeps it close.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because it kicks things off, you know, tonight. I'm watching a couple of bowl games now. Florida's getting ready to play Tulane in just a little bit, and Jacksonville State on now. But tonight, it gives you something to look forward to. College game day is coming on at 2:30. Like college game day is going to do this, and they're going to go to Columbus, Ohio, and do college game day the next day. It's insane. And you have Penn State games starting an hour before the Chiefs. And, of course, the Chiefs are on, and then it goes right back. We got some college football playoffs Again, it's Tennessee and Ohio State. Later that night, it's Clemson and Texas around 3 o'clock or so. But the division, if someone's an FCS fan, like North Dakota State or something like that, they're playing their semifinals tomorrow. If you're a D2 fan, like if you went to Pittsburgh State or Northwest Missouri or University of Central Missouri,
there it is.
They're playing their title game tomorrow. Uh-huh. Think about that. Think about the college football playoffs, the NFL, D1 playoffs, the D1AA quarter semifinals, and the D2 championship all in one day. That is insanity.
Oh, tomorrow's an epic day, no doubt. Tomorrow's an epic day. Let me ask you, though, as I look at all these matchups and we're all excited about the college football playoff and what that means, I can't help but step back and also be like, man, this was the year we all thought that at least one, if not two, of the three locals were getting in this dance, and we're sitting here and one of them's not in a bowl game. The other two are in bowl games that nobody really cares about.
Yeah, and you know what makes them look bad? Indiana. Indiana makes them look bad because they're looking at this thing, and, you know, because Indiana is not a traditional powerhouse. Correct me if I'm wrong, Drew, but doesn't Indiana have more losses than anybody in Division I?
Well, in terms of what? Like, you mean?
It's losses, total losses, program history.
I don't know that stat, but I can tell you that they're in the running, for sure.
Yeah, but it's been a more abundant program, and when you're thinking about it, you're going, all right, Missouri just wins the Cotton Bowl. You know, Kansas State fell on expectations. They got to be really disappointed about their season. I know they're playing in a bowl game, but to be honest with you, they only finished one game better than Kansas in the Big 12 standings, which is crazy that that game that came down to the wire between Kansas and Kansas State, they just found one spot above them. But when you see Indiana, you know, in the playoffs, and when you see Boise State in the playoffs, and if you're Missouri and Kansas State, you got to be sitting there shaking your head going, why not? Why not us? Why can't we get into it? I think it's got to be frustrating for them.
We're talking to Jay Binkley here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, let's run through these kind of quickly. Indiana, Notre Dame tonight. The Hoosiers, 6.5-point underdogs. They were 7 at one point in time. Do you give Indiana a chance to pull off a pretty big upset here against their in-state rival, or do we think we're just going to have a close game, but Notre Dame ultimately wins?
Yeah, Notre Dame's just playing too good of football. So ever since game one, the A&M game, I mean, They're just playing good ball. I mean, they just fundamentally sound on defense and offense. They're scoring at will. I like the quarterback play with Riley Leonard. But I like Indiana, and I've liked Indiana all year. I did watch them against Ohio State. Ohio State had their way with them. They really did. So can they kind of put that, you know, out of sight, out of mind? But I do like Notre Dame in this one.
The game,
I don't want to. I'm going for Indiana, but I think Notre Dame.
I'll get your ultimate semifinal national championship stuff in a second, because Drew and I are in lockstep on Notre Dame. We both think there's a chance they're in the national title game. But
yeah,
the game tomorrow morning, I on paper, it sure seems that SMU Penn State's the one like nobody's really all that excited about. It's like, and I guess the ticket prices are kind of showing that as well.
They're reflecting that, and I think a lot of people were thinking about, you know, the next round. And you're thinking, you know, if Penn State goes the next round, and then you got, you know, a couple more games to go to, and you got airfare and hotel and all that to spend. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, SMU is one of those teams that they've got to have a chip on their shoulder. I mean, this was a team that, you know, first year in the ACC, Kevin Jennings is a fantastic quarterback. This was a guy that never had any offers. He had like two offers in college football. One of them was the Missouri State. He was the quarterback of SMU, and he committed to Missouri State. They pulled his commitment, and he ends up going to SMU. But it's a fun team to watch. Rhett Lashley's done a great job with them, and they're going to try to prove they belonged in there more than Alabama did. But Penn State is just the machine. I mean, with Drew Aller, supposedly he's going to come back even next year, a quarterback. He was the guy that we looked at. Maybe he was a first-round quarterback this year. Tyler Warren, their tight end, I feel is the best tight end in college football. I don't think he's at the level, obviously, of Brock Bowers. But when you're thinking who can be his next studs in the National Football League going forward, Tyler Warren is the guy to watch.
It does feel like SMU, if they lose, especially if they were to lose by a decent margin, you're exactly right. The conversation, certainly from those in SEC country, will be, well, see, Alabama should have been in. You know that's coming, right?
Yeah, you know what's coming. But, I mean, the bottom line is they didn't take care of business when they had an opportunity to. And that's the one thing about it. And SMU, you know, coming back at the end against Clemson that a lot of people are sleeping on that play Texas. You know, Clemson was kind of an afterthought of not getting in the playoffs, and they win the ACC title game, and nobody's talking about them. Now you got Dabo Swinney, the head coach, going out here and signing people in the transfer portal. He's never done that in his history, but he's doing it like crazy now.
We're going through some of the college football playoff games this week and an epic weekend of both NFL and college action. Talking with Jay Binkley. All right, Clemson in Texas. This one in Austin. The biggest spread of the entire college football playoff opening weekend. Texas, 12.5-point favorites. Clemson, I think a lot of people are looking at them as someone that can maybe cover, but is Texas just going to go ahead and roll?
Man, I don't know. They have these opportunities. They made a lot of mistakes in that SEC title game. I mean, they had chances to kind of put away Georgia, and they let a backup quarterback, really with hardly any experience. He's played a few games, Gunnar Stockton at Georgia, played a few games. He let him come in there and beat him and go to overtime and beat the University of Texas. Watch out for Clemson, though. This is the head coach with two national titles. They haven't hit the transfer portal this year. There's nobody that transferred in. They're the only non-service academy. Did not have any transfer portal players. They've adopted that going forward next year. Their quarterback, Kate Klubnik, will be a guy that plays on Sunday in the NFL. Looks like there's a good chance he'll probably go back to school next year. But Clemson can be a dangerous team. And, you know, I think Texas wins this game. But Quinn Ewers, this could be an interesting game because Quinn Ewers was a guy that a lot of people thought high on the Heisman list at the beginning of the year. He was a guy that we thought could be a first-round draft pick, and a lot of people thought he'd be a first-round draft pick, and most mocks had him as a first-round pick. And then that kind of slipped, and then he was replaced in one game with Arch Manning. Arch Manning goes in and wasn't very good either. But for all intents and purposes, they're going to Arch Manning next year. They've made that very clear. They're going to Arch Manning to be their quarterback. Now the question is, will Quinn Ewers, if he has a nice successful run in the college football playoffs, will that catapult him back into good graces in the National Football League into the first round? Or if he goes out and gets bombed right away, where is he going to end up transferring and become a multimillionaire? Because that's what's going to happen. He could end up Missouri.
That'd be something. It'd be a hell of a get for Missouri if they ultimately were to pull something like that off. All right, Tennessee and Ohio State, Bink. I'm almost more interested in like the subplot, which is what happens if Ohio State loses. Ryan Day's done, right? So that's what I'm fascinated with, that angle within this game.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I heard some talking heads on TV talking about this game, and they're like, "Hey, if Ryan Day wins the national title, he still deserves to be fired." I was like, "If he wins the national title, they aren't going to fire Ryan Day. They're just not going to."
Could he just leave? I mean, that's also been thrown out there that Ryan Day maybe decides, "I don't have to deal with your guys' crap. I'm out."
He doesn't want to deal with it. You know, a lot of people are tired of it. You know, as far as Ohio State and some of the things, Kirk Herbstreit was on Twitter even the other day because his son committed to play quarterback at Michigan. You know, obviously Michigan, Ohio State, big rivals. He goes, "Not one coach to Ohio State sent me a congratulations for my son." And, you know, Kirk Herbstreit is Mr. Ohio State, but, you know, he's kind of, you know, salty with the coaching staff there. It's a great fan base. It's a great program. I mean, the recruiting is insanity. Jeremiah Smith, one of the best, hands down, one of the best wide receivers. I think he could be even better than Marvin Harrison Jr. in the future. They got a lot of talent going forward. But Ryan Day, you got to be kind of tired of that. I know that at Alabama, you know, even guys like when Francione was down there as the head coach at Alabama, they talked about, you know, no matter where you went, to get a haircut, going out to eat, wherever it is, people are always wanting to talk about the program. And people come down maybe kind of harsh on Ryan Day. And do they think that going a different direction and trying to go get a Mike Vrabel, which would probably be a good idea. But Ryan Day has beaten everybody but Michigan. But you know what? That happens. You know, sometimes these guys get in a rut and lose through. Jim Harbaugh couldn't beat Ohio State in the beginning, and then all of a sudden he started beating them every year.
All right, I want to get your thoughts on the Chiefs in a second, Bink, but let me ask you, who do you have getting into the semis and the national title? You know, there's all these bracket contests that are out there. Drew and I mentioned earlier, we're actually in lockstep, which I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but we have Notre Dame in Oregon, and I have Oregon beating Notre Dame in the national title game. Where are you at?
You have Notre Dame and Oregon. When did you have Notre Dame losing to? Did you have them losing to Georgia or beating Georgia?
I've been in the national title game. I have, in as far as other matchups within it, doesn't really matter. I have Boise State winning their one game and then losing to, I guess it'd be Notre Dame then at that point, if I'm reading the bracket.
Yeah, I'm going to take Georgia, and I'm going to go Dan Lanning in the University of Oregon. I'm taking 1 and 2. I feel that they're the two best programs.
Even with the backup
country.
Quarterback at Georgia?
I know, with Gunnar Stockton. And there's only one thing that could happen. If Gunnar Stockton's not good, because sometimes these teams rally behind their quarterback, and I know FSU's throwing a fit because, hey, their quarterback's hurting, they're in the playoffs. But Penn State, if they get by Boise State, And then, of course, they can beat Georgia. But Georgia's one of those teams, Alex. Are they the greatest team in the world? No. I mean, to be honest with you, they remind me of the Chiefs. I think there's a big parallel between the two programs, to be quite honest with you. Because, you know, they didn't win the title last year, but they won two national titles the two previous years. The Chiefs have won two Super Bowls. Everybody's watching Georgia saying, well, they don't really have any superstars on offense. Mind you, the Kansas City Chiefs, they win games close. They beat Kentucky by a few points playing at Kentucky, and they're not very good this year, but on the road, barely beat them. They go keep going, though. They went to an 8-overtime game against Georgia Tech at the end of the year, but Georgia won. And guess what? Because they had that ice water, it's that program, it's that culture. Then they go to overtime against Texas in the SEC title game, and then they win. But it's one of those things where they just keep winning. If your name's not Alabama, they don't lose to you. But I see a lot of parallels between the Chiefs and Georgia, because just when you want to dog them and be down on them, they just keep winning.
All right, so there's your pick for the college football playoff. Real quick, tomorrow, Chiefs, Texans. I think this is the one they have to have, considering possibly needing to go 2-1 if the Bills don't drop one. And I don't trust how Mahomes' ankle will feel after tomorrow's game, during tomorrow's game, but after tomorrow's game, going into the short week. You think the Chiefs and Texans are, is this a dangerous one, or are the Texans just a team that has shown they're pretty average?
I think they've been a big disappointment this year. I mean, as a team, I know that they're going to win the division. They're going to go to the playoffs. But I thought they would take the next step, because usually you see these programs, you know, win, and all of a sudden they start taking the next step and becoming, you know, like the Chiefs did. You know, Mahomes, they didn't quite get the Super Bowl first year, then boom, they crashed through the door. But C.J. Stroud had a down year, but they do have a lot of talent on that. The defense is especially talented. D'Amico Ryans is a hell of a defensive coach. Once again, I think it's a close game. I think the Chiefs will go back to the run. Not only that, but I think it's a necessity to run the football, or they've been continuing the quick passes from Mahomes. Even though he wasn't sacked at all against Cleveland, the pressures were up. I mean, he was pressured almost all the time, and they were hitting him. I mean, it was the same philosophy people used to do against Brady and Manning. If he had an opportunity to beat him, they just keep beating him. Just, you know, right there at the whistle, hit him, just knock him down and frustrate him, get him to the point of frustration. I think the Chiefs win. Derek Stingley Jr. really concerns me at corner, because he's really good, but I love the way the defense is actually making good decisions, and they look completely different the last couple of weeks, and forcing those 6 turnovers against Cleveland. I think they really got a lot of confidence, but man, it's going to be nice to see Hollywood Brown back with this offense, because you'll get probably a glimpse of what this offense was supposed to look like going into the year before he got hurt. Now, I would love to see a Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, and DeAndre Hopkins. That would be actually, they'd have one of the better wide receiving groups if that were the case. But Hollywood Brown, very dependable guy, great against man coverage. I'm looking forward to seeing him Saturday.
Bink, great to hear from you, man. Appreciate you coming on. Enjoy. I know you will. I know you'll enjoy the college football and NFL this weekend. And I'm sure you'll be texting a few times this weekend about some of these games. Looking forward to it.
Oh, got to, fellas. And I have a Hy-Vee. They deliver beer. I
mean, it's not, oh my gosh!
Get some snacks, and I got some beer.
There you go.
Get after it, Bink.
Yeah, I did. But anyway, you guys have a Merry Christmas, and
you too.
I tell you what, I look forward to talking football with you guys. Happy holidays.
Hey, thanks, man. Happy holidays as well. That's Jay Binkley joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up in 10 minutes, the Fan Club Friday. We'll talk some more Chiefs and college football, plus just whatever the heck else is going on in life. Kramer's going to join us in studio. We'll have a couple drinks before the weekend. But Drew's got a random question.
Okay, so I haven't put much thought into this, actually.
Oh,
this
that's great.
This is kind of spur of the moment.
That's great to hear. Awesome.
I know. The way you teased it, as soon as I was like, dang, I'm supposed to come up with one of these. I forgot about that. No, so 913-586-7965. Hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. As Cody would say, we are on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, however you're listening to the show, watching. We appreciate you. So Bink mentioned he's getting drinks delivered.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's got like their typical drink. Kind of did this for like October, but like fall or for the winter time. Your go-to snack. Chiefs game tomorrow. Mm. What are you eating? What are you drinking for the game tomorrow?
So this is one of the rare home games I'm not going to tomorrow, mainly because it's a noon kick, and I do a betting show for our Odyssey Sports Betting Network that ends at 11. and I could still make it there, but quite honestly, I'm off next week, and so I'm going to watch it at a bar tomorrow with some friends and nice. Watch all the other college football games. So as far as what am I going to drink during the day when I watch, probably drink wise, it'd probably just be standard like Coors Light or something, man. It's gonna be drinking throughout the day, so you're not getting anything too heavy. And then has nothing to do with the time of the year, but I love a good Philly cheesesteak sandwich, man. I love a good Philly cheesesteak sandwich. That's probably what I'm going to wear. I'm going to have a beer and a Philly cheesesteak sandwich before kickoff tomorrow. That's probably what I'll do.
I feel like wings is almost too obvious, but wings just sound really good. And I don't, and it's not necessarily like a football thing. It just, if I'm sitting down and I'm watching a game, wings are just a go-to. Probably going to get some wings. I have free wings at Jefferson, so I might have to take advantage of that as well. I haven't used them this week.
That's from winning Guillotine last year.
Correct. Somebody said pizza rolls from the 913. Just standard pizza rolls. I don't know if you...
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking at home versus... I'm at home...
Are you snacking?
It's a bag of Tostitos chips, and I'm happy. If I'm just snacking on something, I'm watching the game at home. If I'm going out to a bar, it's obviously different.
So I'm curious if other fans are like me where... So during games that I... Of teams that I'm a fan of, I don't really eat or drink anything. Like, I don't drink...
Huh? Are you nervous?
I'm like locked in, man.
So you don't like you don't drink anything when watching the game? Like, I'm even like water?
I guess like during a commercial break, I'll go and I'll drink like some water or something. Like, so for the first time, I think maybe in my life, I had an alcoholic beverage while I was watching a Bengals game, and that was the Chargers game.
Yeah, if it's not a Chiefs game, it's way more laid back.
Normally, I'm too locked in. Yeah, exactly. If it's a game that I'm not as invested in. Mm-hmm. I'm able to just hang out or whatever, but I wonder for the text line, do you eat or drink anything, or do you find yourself not actually, you're so locked in on everything that you're not actually eating or drinking anything during the Chiefs
games? If it's a road Chiefs game and it's not around the holidays where you know you might be like off of work or whatever, I probably don't eat during it either. Like, I'll be on my laptop and we do notes and stuff. It's a little bit
like you're zoned in. Yeah.
We're in a different scenario just because we're working on it for some stuff for the show. It's different. But in general, for just a normal game, I don't. Text line says, let's see, what type of cheese on the Philly? Provolone sometimes, yeah. Swiss provolone just kind of depends.
Swiss would be a good go-to.
I know some. I don't do the cheese whiz stuff. Like, I don't do that. Sometimes they'll put the cheddar, but and that's fine. But I don't like the canned stuff or whatever. Someone else says Drew's definitely not getting barbecue after his earlier conversation. That's true. And if you do, don't go to the place you suggested, which was a national chain.
Listen, is there even a Dickies here?
I think in Topeka, maybe.
Okay. So that doesn't count as here then.
There's way too much great barbecue in Kansas City for you to be getting a chain.
I'm not saying I don't like the barbecue here, or my wife doesn't like it here. It's just that she was like, oh, it's some Dickies barbecue.
Someone
meat.
Else says, of course Chiefs fans are drinking. Have you watched the end of these Chiefs games? That's true. Someone said they need a cigarette after Chiefs games.
I'm talking about during. Like, are you so locked in? You can't even smoke a cig while you're watching the game.
Yeah.
Are you so locked in?
Someone else said that they go homemade tamales and a Yingling. There you go.
All right. That's...
What, are you going to San Antonio's or something? Getting some tamales?
Rotel and Little Smokies. Someone from the 620 says.
Little Smokies are great. Like, if you're doing like a New Year's Eve party at home and you're having people over, or New Year's Day, I'm sorry. Back when everybody would watch the Rose Bowl and stuff on New Year's Day when that was a thing. That was definitely a thing. You get the Little Smokies, toothpick Smokies. You're good to go.
Do you have like pig? I think pigs in a blanket are better than just Little Smokies.
I've never been a huge fan of those. Never been a huge fan. Last one for you. Someone says, Raiders fan here. No food or drinks during the game. Too nervous. Really focus on the game.
Positive
things are too far in between.
I'm telling you.
Thinking of a Raiders fan. I'm going to be surrounded. This is going to be terrible. Fan Club Friday. I've got... So Drew's producer. You guys know he's Mr. Cincinnati. Kramer is coming in studio. He's Mr. Raider, Mr. Cardinal. I mean, just enemy territory surrounding me. We're going to have
Kramer's
some drinks.
Kramer's worse than I am, with all due respect.
We're gonna talk some football, college football, and I'm sure more on the holiday stuff as well. That's coming up next here on Cody and Golden.